Thankful this morning for your word. And again, Lord, we're here to be fed and to be nurtured, to be strengthened. Lord, every one of us face challenges every day in life, things that we don't understand, things that we need wisdom for, things that we need strength for, Lord. And the challenges of everyday life sometimes seem to be overwhelming. And yet, as we've worshiped you this morning, we've sensed your love, your presence with us, your encouragement. And Lord, we all want to grow closer to you. We want to know you in a deeper way so that when we are faced with adversities or challenges, we don't freak out and we don't become hopeless, but that, Lord, we are full of hope because we know, Lord, you are always faithful to us as you have promised us, Lord. You'll never leave us or forsake us. So bless those who are listening this morning and bless the church here, Calvary Chapel, and all the people. And we just love you and we thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of our faithful people, when she was leaving last week, she said, "Now tell me about this radio station. Where does this broadcast from? How does this work?" Well, maybe I haven't been clear enough down through the years, but the radio station is actually in this building. It's in the back, and you'll see a sign, a window there. It says Grace FM, all the equipment's in there. And many years ago, Pastor Chuck at one of the pastors' conferences said, if you really want to do something good for your community, get on the radio. So I naively came home. I figured I'll just call FCC and get on the radio and get a radio station. It doesn't work that way. There's a lot of red tape you have to go through, a lot of steps, excuse me, and you have to pray an awful lot. And because of Channel 6, which is, I believe, ABC coming out of Johnstown, the bandwidth on the radio station didn't allow any space for a radio station to appear. And so we got some engineers involved, Calvary Chapel people that did a lot of work gratis. It didn't cost us a lot. And they found the space, 100.3 FM. And so that was exciting. It was clear, it was dead, there was no one on it, so we knew we could apply for that space. Then you had to compete against other people who might want a radio station. That's other nonprofits like colleges, ACLU, liberal groups, whatever. And if you are competing against those groups, then you have to fulfill a point system, and it's real complicated. In order to have the station, there was all these hoops you had to jump through, and that made it more complicated to have a station. Well, lo and behold, only God can do this. When we applied, there was no other applicant. There was no points to have to put up with. So we were favored by the Lord, and we got this station, I guess a little over 4 years ago, we've been broadcasting. So a good friend of mine, Randy and Catherine Young, they've been connected with this church for quite a while, living in California, and they recently moved out this way. He had some equipment that he wanted to donate to the church. And so it wasn't just the radio station broadcasting it out. We now had the capacity, because of this equipment that was donated, probably worth about $50,000 that we didn't have the money to buy. We were able to then get an engineer in here from ESPN who set up Dan Patrick's sports desk, really smart guy, and came in with soldering and all these little wires and set everything up and connected everything together so that we could actually be able to go live or to do interviews, call-in shows. So there's a lot of potential for this radio station. So several weeks ago, Randy and Dan were in here, and they worked all day, and they figured out how to get it online so it would go live out like we are right now. So it's pretty remarkable. And so the person asked me, well, how's this station funded? How much does this cost every month to have this station? It's between $3,000 and $4,000 a month to run this station. And but the offerings that you guys give are what has allowed us to be able to be online and be on the radio. And so there's so many people that are being touched by this radio station every day, and it's because of your contributions of offerings that enable us to do this. So continually pray for the station, even more so now as it's going out beyond where we were currently with our live service on Sunday morning. We have our own teaching show Monday through Friday at 7:30 in the morning, 12:30 in the afternoon, and 5 in the afternoon. So it's the same teaching all three times every day, and then the next day it's the next section of scripture. And so we're recording 2 Timothy right now. Eventually that book will be on the air. The next book that's going on the air will be the book of Revelation. That's the second time we've actually run that. And so anyway, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have the privilege of being able to preach the word, teach the word as a pastor of this church to people who need the word of God. And so keep it in prayer. It's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? How many of you guys listen to it in here? Well, quite a few of you. Thank the Lord for that. And spread the word. Now you can tell people that they can listen to the service live. Sometimes people want to listen before they visit, right? And so that gives them an opportunity to listen. And also, there's an app that you'll be hearing about soon where you can pull it up on your phone and listen real quick, easily all over the world, Grace FM app. And you can go to graceradio.fm. Some people say, well, I love this station, but it sort of goes out and isn't clear once I get out of the general Hemphill Greensburg area. Well, if you have a smartphone, you can go to graceradio.fm and you can hear it anywhere in the world, driving down the turnpike, going to work, to Pittsburgh, wherever. So thank the Lord for that, huh? Glory to God. And the station's about all paid for. This month we'll finish our loan on it. Not this month, but sometime this year we'll finish our loan on that. So again, thank you for all of you who contribute to the church ministry so we can do this. This is our greatest mission, along with our missionaries. We're able to sow seed again to countless thousands upon thousands of people that God can take his word and bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. So this morning we're in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're only going to look at a few verses this morning. I'm going to read verses 10 through 17, but primarily focus on verses 10 through 13. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to his understudy Timothy, who's going to take over a lot of the ministry whenever Paul is eventually martyred. And he says in verse 10, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them the Lord delivered me. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so, life in ministry and being a Christian is always a challenge. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not easy to live for Jesus Christ. There's adversities and trials and challenges that enter into all of our lives. Many of you personally are going through something today that's difficult, whether it's issues in your marriage or your home or your job or your health or your finances, and you're just wondering, you know, when life's going to maybe get easier sometimes. And sometimes life is not easy. And I was talking to someone this morning whose wife is dealing with some cancer and getting treatment. And we talked about how the Lord uses adversity and challenges in our lives to bring us closer to Jesus Christ. And the psalmist says, "It was good that I was afflicted, that I may learn to walk in your ways." And Paul was preaching the clarity of what the real gospel is, not the counterfeit gospel that many of the televangelists preach on TV, that if you come to Jesus, you'll have no more problems, right? That's a lie. And the issue is, whether you come to Jesus or not, you're going to have problems, right, in life. You're either going to just have problems because life is full of challenges, or you're going to have challenges because you're following the Lord, and those kind of challenges will help you to live a strong Christian life and live for an eternal purpose. And so as he's preaching to his understudy and the church in Ephesus, he's saying in verse 10, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine." And it's really important to understand that when we study the Bible, this is not man's ideas or someone who just thought they'd write a few letters to get the attention of the human race. This is inspired by God, this Bible, the Word of God. Every word in the Word of God is breathed by the Holy Spirit of God to teach us as a human race how to know God, how to follow God, and how to be delivered and saved from the sin that every one of us have when we're born into this world. And so he begins with this importance of following the teachings of the apostles. Initially, it was the law and the prophets, Moses and the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it came into the teachings of the apostles, who are laid upon the foundation of the teachings of Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone of the church. And so he's teaching him these important things so that whenever he goes through adversity and difficulty, he's not depending on anything else to communicate to people but the teaching of the Word of God. It's the only thing that can get people through the difficulties of life and truly know the truth of the living God. And he's dealing at this time with opposition in the church. There's false teachers. There's people who are spreading heresies around that are trying to circumvent the teaching of the Bible. And this happens in every age. Every generation, there's false teachers. They will continue until the Lord comes, the second coming, and sets up his kingdom, where there won't be any more of this nonsense going around. But Paul's speaking to Timothy to keep on keeping on, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, being a pastor, don't give up, don't quit, don't run away. Carefully follow what true ministry is. So Timothy wasn't going to be left to his own thought process. Paul was saying you're going to be able to know how to keep being a servant of God by learning the things that you've seen me do. And Paul was an example. Paul said in another place in Scripture, follow me like I follow Christ. Paul never said he was perfect any more than any other pastor is perfect. But if a pastor is doing what it is that God's called him to do, there is a pattern in their lives that should cause you to want to follow the Lord like the pastor is. And if you have a pastor who isn't following the Lord, then there's no point going to that church. But the purpose of the truth of the testimony of Paul's life was that it was solid. He was completely committed to the truth and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so he continues to tell Timothy, you have an example. You're not alone. As you observed Paul's ministry, and Timothy traveled with Paul, he saw everything Paul went through, how he handled things, how he handled difficult people, how he handled struggles in life. Timothy had someone that he could model his life after. And so Paul talks about the doctrine as the first verse we're looking at here this morning. And this is a set of beliefs held and taught by God since the inception of the Scriptures, when they were codified and recognized as the Word of God in the third century, when many knowledgeable leaders in the church in the early stages of the development of the church, they had all kind of letters and all kind of material that they could sift through to determine what is the 66 books of the Bible. And that's what we have today. This Bible didn't drop down out of a Majesty Christian bookstore, right? Out of the sky, and here it is. This was wrought out of the martyrdom of many people who stood to make sure that this book was put together in the way it is now, especially in the 15th, 16th century by people like William Tyndale and those who were martyred and given hard times for what it is they did, that we might have the truth of the Word of God in a book that we could all read and we could all study. So he says, follow this set of beliefs held and taught to us through Paul, inspired by God. And then he said, watch my manner of life. In other words, how did Paul live his Christian life out? He watched Paul go through hard times. He watched Paul become beaten and stoned and imprisoned. He watched Paul deal with churches that Paul was responsible for establishing, that after he went back and visited them, there would be some bad leaders in the churches and they wouldn't accept his apostleship. He watched Paul deal with people who came against him and slandered him and said all manner of evil things about him. And yet Paul never got bitter. He never became unloving or ungracious. He was always a representative of how Jesus lived his life. He said, look at the purpose of my life. What was Paul's purpose? His motive for what he did and why he did it. Everything he did was because of Christ and his love for him and his love for Jesus Christ. He said also, look at the faith that was in my life. And the kind of faith that was in Paul's life was a complete trust and confidence in Christ and his gospel. And that's what we all need to do. We need to have complete faith and trust in the Word of God. When you're going through the most difficult times of your life, the scariest times, the most overwhelming times in your life, you need to get into this book and get before the Lord and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. God will never let you down when you trust in His Word. He'll never turn away from you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you alone. He's with you always. And this faith is what is in us as believers. This faith was given to us when we became followers of Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God. And to be able to grow in the faith is the most wonderful blessing, because the more time you spend with God and the more time you are in the Word of God, the more your faith will grow in the person of God. If you're in the Word and you're feeding on it and you're hearing it and you're learning it and you're studying it, your faith will continually grow and become stronger and stronger and stronger. It tells us in the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just the fact that you're here today and you're hearing some of the Word in between the times that you fall asleep, right? God's still going to use the Word in your life to strengthen you and to make you more dependent upon the Lord. It's just a wonderful miracle that this is a living book, and as you read it and as you hear it, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul talks about this attribute in his life of long suffering, that there was a time in his life when he was being persecuted, and he said, no one stood with me. Everyone abandoned me. And being in the ministry is a lonely calling, because people come and go into your life. People you think you can depend on or have them pray with you. One day they're there and the next day they aren't. And at the end of the day, Paul said, no one stood with me. But he said, the Lord stood with me. Amen. And that's what you can depend on. People will come and go in your life. People will be fair weather friends. But Christ is a friend that sticks closer than his brother. Sticks closer than a brother. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So this long suffering, Paul showed great love and patience in spite of the troubles that were in his life. You never heard him complaining. He just kept following the Lord and trusting the Lord. He was hurt many times by other people, but he never got an attitude or got bitter. He just saw people as people. People are sinful. People fail. People stumble. People trip. People fall away. But keep your eyes on the main prize, and that's following Jesus Christ. And then he talked about this aspect of love that was in his life. And this wasn't a human love or a temporary love. This wasn't a love that was conditioned upon how people treated him or how things went for him in his life. This was a love that was characterized by the Greek word agape, the love of God for man and the love of man for God. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, when people would look at him sometimes and marvel, how is it that you keep doing what it is you're doing? It seems like nothing you do ever really turns out the way you would maybe hope it would turn out. Why do you have so much struggle and persecution and difficulty? And this was Paul's answer. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. Verse 15, if he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. What a beautiful love relationship the Apostle Paul had with his Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew that living for Christ was worth everything in this life. More than anything he could get from anything else he could ever do, his sole purpose and desire in his life, because of what Christ had done for him and that great love of Christ for him, that he wasn't going to live any longer for his own purposes, but he was going to live completely for Jesus Christ. And then he tells us about this word perseverance. And perseverance is this attitude of heart that you're going to finish the race no matter what. It's a steadfastness in doing something despite the difficulty or delay in seeing positive results. You're going to just keep doing what you're doing regardless of what you see occurring with your own visual capability or capacity. You're doing what you do based upon God saying that his word will not return void. It'll accomplish the purposes for which he sends it out. And then he talked about the difficulty of the persecutions and the afflictions, hostility and ill treatment because of his faith in Jesus Christ. That's why he was persecuted. I'm sure many of you who have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you have struggled with relationships with people at times because of your faith, that goes with the job description, basically, of being a follower of Jesus Christ. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And this is just what happens. And then the afflictions. These are things that cause pain and suffering in your life. Many times you'll be hurt by people. You'll be hurt by things that occur in your life from other people. And sometimes there'll be people that you trusted the most. Sometimes your brothers and sisters, people in your church or your family, you'll be hurt by, and you'll have suffering. And you can't escape being hurt. Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to trust anybody because I don't want to get hurt. Well, you're going to get hurt whether you trust people or you don't trust people. Life many times brings pain and suffering to us. And Paul understood what it was like when he went through these things. And he said to Timothy, do you remember what happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra? What persecution I endured? Okay, he's in Antioch and he had to get out of town because they were threatening to kill him. And Antioch is in the south central regions of Turkey. It's fascinating. We look at Turkey today, which is a primarily Muslim country, very few Christians there because of the advancement of Islam. Iconium was in central Turkey, and he was driven out by a lynch mob. He had to flee. And then we have Lystra, and this was a city in the region of Antalya. Matter of fact, you have a little restaurant next door. It's a Turkish restaurant, Antalya. It's interesting. That's in the region of Turkey. And he was stoned and left for dead outside the city of Lystra. So he's reminding Timothy of the persecutions I endured, right? And this is what's beautiful. And he says, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So there's nothing that can happen in your life or mine that God doesn't allow, that he's going to make a way out of if he doesn't choose to bring you home yet, right? No matter what the diagnosis is or what the doctor says or what the relationship is or what the employer says or whatever, whatever you might be going through in life, the Lord is there to deliver you out of it and to have that peace that he's with you. And how awesome is that to know? Underline that in your Bible. No matter what the afflictions are or what you go through, the Lord is faithful to deliver you out of all of them. Someone came up to me. They were praying for me before the message today. And he just happened to say, the Lord has been faithful to us. He's never let us down, has he? The Lord has never let us down. And he says in verse 12, yes, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You read that verse quickly and you'll miss it. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. As you represent Christ, people will resent you. People will reject you. People won't like you. And all the forces of hell will try to come against you, because when you're living godly in Christ Jesus, your life has an impact of holiness to all those people you encounter in your life on an everyday basis. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about when they look at you, they see something in you that is completely different than what's in the majority of people in this world today. And when you live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. Timothy had to be taught to be long-suffering. He had to be taught to tolerate pain in the ministry. I have friends at times that tell me, I'd like to be in the ministry, but it's too painful. Well, life is painful. And no matter whether you're in the ministry or not, you're going to have difficulty in your life. You're going to have pain and suffering. It's just the nature of being a human being. So you have to understand that not only is Paul teaching Timothy how to follow in his footsteps, but Timothy's in a church that's very difficult. There's division. There's false teaching. There are people that are struggling. Just the typical stuff of human nature. The emails I get and the telephone calls I get, along with the other pastors and elders here, a lot of people are going through deep and difficult times. And God wants us to be prayerful leaders. He wants us to be beside the people who are hurting and have their backs and care for them, regardless of the feedback you get. You love your enemies. You know, the whole idea is like, be patient, because even in the church, you're going to have enemies at times. You're going to have people that are going to come against you and make your life difficult and just make a big deal out of nothing. But keep loving people and keep following Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, that I may know him. The song that the women sang to lead us in worship today. Nothing more important than knowing him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. It took me a lot of years as a Christian to understand that Christian living is also suffering. And whether it's suffering for things that you're dealing with personally, or you're suffering on behalf of those you love and care about or watch over, this is the call of the servant of God. And we are dying daily, Paul says. We die daily. We have to die to our own inclinations, our own self-will, our own desires. We have to live for the purposes of Jesus Christ. And Timothy is discovering, as Paul is teaching him this, of the depths of what kept Paul together in the ministry. What was the secret of his inner power? What was the power that Paul had that so few other people seemed to have, in spite of his actual sufferings and painful circumstances? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, this is the power. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body, this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is how we live the Christian life. This is how we persevere. All these characteristics of Paul's life are in your life and mine as we walk in the Spirit, as we trust Jesus Christ, that this power, the same power that Paul experienced to overcome all adversities and obstacles that he encountered in his life, is the same power that is in us, the power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. So he says to Timothy, be strong, Timothy, for you have not only been present with me and watching what I've gone through and how I've done this work, but you've also closely followed my teachings and my doctrine. And now I want you to live and apply these teachings. When Paul lists all these challenges of his life, he's not saying that for people to feel bad for him. He's not bragging and saying, well, look how great I am. I'm going through all this stuff. And, you know, that would be vainglory. No, he's wanting to identify with you and me. You're here today, and I'm sure there's a challenge that you're facing. And sometimes you say, why am I having to go through this? Why is this happening to me in my life right now? And then you can be reminded that one of the greatest leaders in the New Testament church, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, went through the very same things and even worse than what you and I could go through. And he's got a smile on his face and he's saying, trust the Lord. He's faithful. The focus in our lives isn't on the adversity, but it's on the great God who delivers us out of the adversity, right? Out of the challenge, out of the struggles. The Lord hath delivered me. The Bible tells us that it's a wonderful thing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's delivered out of the hand of the enemy. Persecution comes into your life because Christ is in you. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not ourselves wrestle against flesh and blood. The problem you have with a relationship is not the human being. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness and high heavenly places. It's impossible for a person to live a godly life without being exposed to sadness, fatigue, or temptation. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And he said this right after he told the disciples, the apostles, that they were going to be scattered when he was taken to the cross. They were all going to leave. They were all going to flee. They didn't realize they were going to do that, but they did. But Jesus is encouraging them, in this world, this place we all live, you're going to have challenges, trouble and suffering. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We should be the most joyful people on the face of the earth in the midst of our challenges and adversities. We shouldn't be walking around with long faces and thinking, oh, woe is me, there's no hope, there's no future. That's ludicrous. Because of who Christ is and what he's done and what he continually does in our lives, we can overcome these adversities through Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Ministry, and this is something that many men aren't taught before they decide that they want to go into ministry, is sacrifice, it's conflict, it's attack from within and without. It's just the way it is. And it's never going to change until we're taken out of this world. But it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, right? That old song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Paul showed us that following Jesus isn't easy, that there is hardship and difficulties. I'm so thankful that he's straight up with us, right? He's not candy coating the struggles and the challenges and the difficulties that all of us encounter every day. There's nothing wrong with you when you're struggling and you're despondent, or at times you're fatigued and you're overwhelmed. That is part of the human condition, but we don't stay in that place. There is hardship and difficulties. Augustine said, if you aren't experiencing the struggle, you have yet to live a life of purity in the Lord. That's powerful. But evil, he says in verse 13, Paul, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil workers and workers of iniquity, ungodly people that will bring eventual despair to many. They lead others as well as themselves to loss and failure. There's a verse in Proverbs that says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the way there is a way of death. And the contrast between the attributes of a man of God that we just read, all the wonderful things that characterize Paul's life, is opposite of the kind of people that are living on the face of the earth in the last days, who are lovers of themselves, the self-serving, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, despisers of good, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, hypocrisy, but they deny the true power thereof. And so as you think about these things this morning in your own life, I'd encourage you to study these things regarding what the Christian life is really about. As we enter into this time of communion, I'm so thankful that we sort of changed the way we're doing the services, because I always felt that we were rushing through communion, which is really the most important time I believe the service offers to you and to me. Because when we have communion, we're coming to Jesus Christ in this supper. We've been given access to heaven as we take this supper. And we enter into his heavenly sanctuary, to his throne of grace, the resurrected Lord. I don't know, whenever you take communion, are you focusing on his death? Are you focusing on his resurrection? Well, you really remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But we have an exalted King, a risen Lord, and he's seated on the right hand of God the Father. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews, as we prepare our hearts for the supper, this wonderful opportunity we have as believers to be able to take some time, as Gina said, forget about what's out there today in this world. Take some time to let your heart fall deeper in love with God. He tells us that the Word of God, which we just studied this morning, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Lord Jesus, in the time that we take the supper, he's looking at your heart. He evaluates where you are, where you aren't with him. He knows every thought before you even think it. And he uses his word to break open the stones to show you what it is he wants you to be free from and to let go of. He said, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Jesus isn't condemning our weaknesses today, is he? He's sympathizing with them. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need. And he loves us, and he wants you to enter into this time with him as he exposes your heart and what it is he wants you to give to him. And it tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess these sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The psalmist says, search me, O God, in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the ultimate spiritual PET scan. PET scans can find cancer in the body, and thank God it can, and then deal with the affliction and illness and cut it out and save lives. But aren't you glad that we have a spiritual PET scan occurring every time we come before the Lord's Supper? Where he can pinpoint what it is that is getting in the way of our relationship with him. Lovingly, he pulls it out and reveals it and touches us so we can go and sin no more. As Christ has offered himself for us, we offer ourselves to him this morning as we take communion to be used as instruments and vessels of his holy gospel of grace to others. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. The Bible says holy and acceptable unto God. So we take the supper, not holy in ourselves, but holy and righteous because of Christ being in us. We have been made alive in Jesus Christ as Christians. We've been saved by God's grace. If you're here today and you're born again, this supper is for you. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today is a day you can say, Jesus, forgive me and save me of my sins, and take this supper together with the rest of the Christians here, thanking him and giving him glory for his forgiveness of your sin and his promise of eternal life by his resurrection. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost, meaning forever, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So right now, Jesus is praying for you. He's ever living to make intercession for you and for me. If no one else is praying for you, don't feel bad, because you got the ultimate one praying for you, the God of this universe, the one who knows everything about you and will never turn his back on you. He always lives to make intercession for us. He's praying for us. He's in favor of us and knows our weakness. So let's put aside our earthly cares for a few moments as the men come forward with the Lord's Supper and the worship team can come forward. And the struggles to remember that Jesus is here in the midst of this suffer. This is his gift to us as his kids, that we might understand we're one body and one spirit together with the Lord and one another. All he gives to us in this supper is himself. It's a free gift. Nothing is due from you. We accept this gift in joy and gratitude because of what he's done for us. I'm going to read from the book of Luke as we take the supper together, Luke chapter 22. And all those who are listening on the radio can also take the supper with us. If you have some grape juice in the refrigerator or crackers or whatever you have in the house, you can use that to take the supper with us. In the book of Luke, chapter 22. Jesus is the one that instituted the supper. And when the hour had come, and this is the night that he was going to be betrayed, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Verse 14. And he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Jesus had this great desire to take the supper with those he loved the most. And so this morning, he still has that same desire to take the supper with you individually and with all of us together as one body. Then he took the cup. And he gave thanks. And he said, "He divided among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me." Father, we're grateful this morning for your life in us. We're thankful for the life you gave for us and the death you died on behalf of us as sinners. We're thankful, Lord, that you made it very simple. You said, "For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Lord, I pray everyone here today has put their faith and their trust in you and are believing in you for the forgiveness of their sins. But more importantly today, I pray that as they visualize the truth that you're not on that cross anymore, you're no longer suffering for our sin on that cross. You paid the price fully. You said it's finished. And you're seated on high, the right hand of the Father, ever living and making prayers, intercession for us. Lord, thank you today that you're loving on your people here, that you're revealing your great love for them, comforting them, strengthening them, giving them increased faith to follow after you, Lord. We're thankful that you do all this by the power of your Holy Spirit in us. This is not stuff that we do ourselves, but it's your life in us that gives us a whole new way of living life. And so, Lord, bless my brothers and sisters, and may this word be spread throughout the earth, God, in these last days, that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you are doing and all that you'll continually do. Comfort, Lord, your people, for blessed is your kingdom. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.